Hare Krishna. Some questions, starting with Gopi Chandran, who quotes a letter where Srila Prabhupada says that, yes, in the spiritual world, we can have another ISKCON, continue another ISKCON. What does that mean? I take it to mean that in substance and in association, it may be like ISKCON that we have now, but not in name or even in terms of a legal or institutional identity. In Braj, Goloka, Vrindavan, then everything is already set up. Krishna has already organized that everyone live in cowherd settlements, and that they're cowherd men or associates of cowherd men. There is no international. There's no other nations, there's just Braj or Vrindavan, so there's no need for an international society. And everyone's already Krishna conscious on top of that. But still the essence, to chant Hare Krishna, to associate with Vaishnavas, to glorify the Lord, all of these things are taking place there. Well, those devotees are followers of Srila Prabhupada, then they can also conceivably be associated with Srila Prabhupada's followers and their follower followers, in other words, in that type of gun or group. And in that way, we're also grouped together or associating there as we are here. Then in Svetadvip, that part of Goloka, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates are as perfected sadhakas, more resembles ISKCON than here, in that everyone is dressed as practitioner devotees. They perform Sankirtan the same way that we do here. Of course, there's no non-devotees to preach to, and in that sense there's no book distribution to perform or other activities, but there is again the same substance of glorifying Krishna here in the mood of separation, and also in a gun, in a similar group, following in the group of Prabhupada Nugas, like we are Rupa Nugas, so we're Prabhupada Nugas. So I take this that in substance there will be another ISKCON over there, although I highly doubt that the name will be there, or that in front of people's houses, Nanda Maharaj's house, there'll be a sign saying Society for Krishna Consciousness, Founder Acharya. But the real essence, that will continue to be there. And Andrew asks a very interesting question. He says, how can India be the home of spirituality and yet at the same time be such a dirty place where people go to the bathroom almost anywhere, and where people are just tend to cheat and lie to foreigners, in other words, where they're dishonest? How can you balance these two things? I don't think I am planning to answer that question. It's been something that I've been pondering for 40 years myself. How did it start? I know I had a discussion some time back with Sridhar Prabhu from Mumbai, and he told me that when he grew up then and raised, it was just sort of natural. You just throw garbage anywhere and everywhere, you spit anywhere and everywhere. It was only later on when he came to Krishna consciousness that he realized that this wasn't a proper conduct, and that he had to raise his own child in a different way. But that doesn't address the cause or why it's like that, how it got to be like that. It just explains how it still is like that. It's certainly unfortunate. I've learned to tolerate it. And as far as that cheating is concerned, Srila Prabhupada in one conversation says that Indian people learn how to cheat from the British. And more than that, I'll not say. Shuddha Hare Krishna from Tirupati, he is quoting some devotee there, some Mataji there, lady, saying that I don't allow women to worship Radha Damodar because they'll get contaminated. So he wants to know how it is possible the deities can get contaminated. And the answer is deities can't get contaminated. That's a mundane conception. And I never really said any such thing. However, in the very conservative traditional culture of Jagannath Puri, Radha Damodar had only been worshipped by men, touched by men, dressed by men for the last 500 years. And because that was the tradition, therefore I'm keeping that tradition. I vowed to keep that tradition and not make any changes. So although ladies sometimes make offerings to Radha Damodar, they certainly cook for Radha Damodar, but 99% of the time I do the dressing, or I've taught Shambhi Hari how to also do the same. But it's not that when the need is there that women don't have anything to do with Radha Damodar. Shamlata touches them up and paints them. Also, I've willed them to Nishingapran and Manjwali in the future, and if such becomes the case that they have to be dressed and so on by ladies, well, that's a decision that others can make. For me, I've just stuck to this, as sometimes even these material traditions are maintained in the same way that, for instance, Sanatan Goswami kept a distance from Jagannath Temple so as not to disturb the local pandas, even though he was more than qualified to enter the temple, and what to speak of pass by the gate. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased with his conduct. Similarly, if sometime in the future one should some people from Jagannath Puri would want to know how the deities are worshipped, then I can say that they're worshipped in the same way that they have been worshipped in the past, and that will pacify them. Krishan Paul has two questions. One is, he asks standard question, which is the origin of the jiva. He says, how is it that if we're so full of bliss in the spiritual world that we could have even thought about coming into the material world or being in Maya? And Srila Prabhupada's answer is that we have our free will, and because we have our free will, therefore, despite the fact that we're in a good situation, we can choose otherwise. And of course, the practical example of that may be when people come to Krishna consciousness, they really love the experience of chanting and everything else, and yet at the same time they get dragged away by the material energy. So Prabhupada would say free choice is always there. And this other question is that seems like he lives around Bhaktivedanta Manor, that my parents aren't so favorable to my being in Krishna consciousness, and yet I want to be more involved. So should I listen to them or not? That's hard call for me at this distance, so I can't really give a direct answer. Certainly, I don't even know how old he is. Certainly, if a Christian is of age and is an adult, then he should really decide whether he's going to live his own life or he's going to live someone else's dream of what he should be. In other words, his parents' idea of what he should be. If he's going to live his own life and practice Krishna consciousness according to his commitment, then he may have to suffer the consequences, and his parents may say, well, sorry, then you can't live in the house. But that's not the end of the world. Sure, you can find some other places to live and take care of himself. If he's living at home and dependent on his parents, well, then they're the boss. And they can say, well, as long as you're living here, then you have to moderate your involvement in Krishna consciousness. And that's what Raghunath Das Goswami also had to do. But good thing is that people grow up. So when he grows up, then gets to adult age, then Krishna should definitely pursue his own direction in life, whatever the cost may be, because ultimately this connection, family connection, husband, wife, mother, child, and so on, this is illusory and temporary. It's not who we are. Who we really are is Krishna servants, and our real business is to awaken that loving attitude that qualifies us to once again be Krishna's servant, and that we have to be willing to do at all costs. And those are the questions now, Hare Krishna.